Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Confession, that's not repentance. Even confessing to the Lord you did some things, that's not repentance. If you confess it just to get it erased so that you can go do some more. Repentance is changing your direction. Now, these are part of the process, I think. Feeling guilty, crying could be a part of the process, saying I'm sorry, confessing. All those things can be part of the process of repentance, but they are not repentance.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
What is real repentance? What does it look like? Well, some think that saying sorry is good enough, but that's not necessarily the case. Yes, being sorry is part of repentance, but true repentance births change. When a person expresses real repentance, they make a choice to turn away from their sin. They choose to follow God. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, as we join Pastor Troy for part one of our message entitled, Change Now.
I moved from Albuquerque, New Mexico, via the military, to San Antonio, Texas. It wasn't a move by my choice, but here I am. And I went from a large, thriving church, a Calvary Chapel in Albuquerque. Skip Heitzig is the pastor, probably one of the best teachers in the world. And so I come from that environment, and I move here, and the only Calvary Chapel available is all the way across town from me. They're just getting started, and I would be about the sixth person. I'm like, where's my church? Where's the ministries? Where's the singles ministry and all this stuff that is church? I need all that, especially being single. You know, I needed a singles ministry. How am I going to get married? And so I thought, what are you doing, Lord? And so I thought, I guess God doesn't want me to go to church. I don't have to go to church, right? Isn't that the way we think? I don't have to go to church. God's with me anywhere. The problem is, I didn't spend time with the Lord. I wasn't disciplined enough. I just didn't put the Lord first. I loved Him. I was born again. But He wasn't the priority of my life. And so finally, I was looking up pizza places again and ran across that little tiny Calvary Chapel in apartment number so-and-so. I thought, well, maybe this is where you want me to be. It was kind of like, well, if it's got to be, I guess it's got to be. So I go and I remain committed. I'm challenged. It's a small church. There's not much to do. So I really had to be motivated by the Lord to engage and be involved and be committed, until finally an opportunity was given me to get involved. Actually, when you're that small, you're desperate to lead worship. You know, I had grown, and his wife was going to be out of town. She led the worship with no instruments and just sang. And so, hey, you know, a few chords, barely, but that's good enough. You're faithful. You're committed. You're here. We can depend on you. And you've proven yourself. You're changing. God is in your life. So, can you handle this opportunity? Just a one-time opportunity. That's it. When my wife comes back, she'll be doing it. I just want you to do it once. I did it once. And I never stopped doing it. I became a staff pastor. My whole life started to change, transform, because I was given an opportunity that I would have never had in that humongous church where I was at. And the opportunity only came because I was faithful. I drove. Some will say, well, it's just so much traffic. You will never convince me that you face more traffic than I did. When 410 was down to one lane on the northwest side over here by I-10, when it was down to one single lane, I used to live over by Calabria, Petrenko, near Lackland. And I would travel all the way around to Universal City. So I would face that traffic, and church starts at 7, so you're hitting the major traffic. And I work until 4:30, something like that. So you're hitting the major traffic. There's no way around it. So when some say, well, traffic, well, this, well, that, I don't go, stop it. But in my heart, I'm thinking, stop it. No, I do the pastoral thing. I understand. Yeah. Well, you know, maybe you need to change some things and get here a little earlier. And, you know, I don't think that's it. No, that's it. Stop it. No. But there were some things that had to change in my life for me to make what God was doing in my life a priority. And it was God that was doing it. It wasn't me. I didn't choose the scenario. I didn't really choose the church. I didn't choose anything. All that was in my court, all that I was given was to be responsible, to be faithful, to change things right now so that I could grow and follow and be faithful to the Lord. So many sense in their lives that something needs to change. Something needs to be addressed. I know I need to be more faithful. I know I need to stop doing this. I know I need to start doing this. We all have it. But most of those who think that way never end up changing those things. 5, 10, 20 plus years down the road, they're still saying, I know I need to change this. Oh, I know I need to change that. Then change it. Change it now. A.W. Tozer wrote, if people have an urge within their spirits based upon a belief and a conviction that they ought to act upon, to begin reassessing their lives and adjusting their living, then they ought to do it right now while they are thinking about it. One of the active works of the Holy Spirit in a person's life is to convict of sin. Now, I know we need to redefine sin here a little bit because some of you think bad things, evil things. But sin is simply anything that distracts you or prohibits you from following the Lord. It could be good things that do that. Good things by our standards. So sin isn't necessarily a bad thing by our standards. In fact, we allow a lot of sin that we call culturally acceptable and okay. That is not. But sin is, I am going this direction. I am leading you this direction. And anything that causes you to resist is called rebellion and sin. That's why the disciples said, man, who can be saved? Jesus said, well, it's impossible with you. But with me, all things are possible. With Christ, all things are possible. So we're sent this helper, the Holy Spirit of God, who convicts us of sin, convicts us of wrong. Beyond just wrong actions, wrong thoughts. He convicts us. In John 16, Jesus spoke of a helper who would come, the Holy Spirit, and he said, when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Okay, convict of sin, we understand, but convict of righteousness? What does that mean? It means we don't have any clue what righteousness is. And he will educate us on that. Begin to change us so we understand what true righteousness is, not what morality is. Morality is one thing. Lots of moral codes out there. Lots of religions pushing moral codes. But that's not what he came to do. Jesus taught us that if you follow me, you won't need moral codes. You'll be so far above the moral codes, you won't need a standard of morality. Because you'll be living in this idea of love, considering others, not selfishness, not self-seeking. And so we have the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist is preaching. And his message, if ever a message was, is a change now message. It's one word, repent. That was his message. His is one that today doesn't really fit into the mission statement of many churches today. Repentance, preaching repentance. We'll do lots of things for the Lord. We'll have activity. And I think the focus on the church is social activity. We have to be socially connected. So if we're a big church, we're going to do small groups. And I understand we need to be connected. But that's not the emphasis of the church. The connectivity should happen naturally because Jesus said, they will know you're my disciples because you love each other. So we can't put the cart before the horse. Let's make sure we have this packaged church that makes sure that everybody loves each other and is in a small little fellowship. First, the most important thing is knowing the Word of God, becoming a disciple, following Him. Everything else will come from there. So I get asked all the time, what's the vision? What do you guys plan on doing? What's out there? Well, I could list lots of things. But the answer that I have really is everything God wants us to do. It depends on who God brings. Because I believe God brings gifted people to do things. So maybe if you're growing and you're thriving in the Lord and God's really gripping your life and He's starting to put that burden in your heart and you come to me and you say, are we going to have like evangelism? Are we going to do some outreach? Boy, I was saved in an outreach and God did this. And are we going to do that at this church? I'll say yes, and we'll do it right now if you feel like God's calling you. We want to do everything God wants us to do, but I can't do it all and I'm not going to do it all. So it's on you guys. You're the church. What are we going to become? It depends on what God makes us, what God wants to do. I'm all for walking by faith. I believe that there are some in here right now, you might think of yourself as somebody God could really never use. Maybe you've made too many mistakes. Maybe right now you think, I don't know if I can overcome this burden, this hurdle. But I believe God is going to do some amazing things if you, like I did so many years ago, man, I came to church. I talked all the time because I just needed to talk to somebody. I was like, man, that Troy, he's a pathetic guy. You know, we just need to love him back to health. You know, that poor kid. And now, look what God has done. I'm still that pathetic kid. But God, I've been faithful. I've tried to follow Him. And I don't care where you're at, if today you will begin to follow Him, there's no limit to what God will want to do in your life. You got to follow Him. It's not a dream. You just keep dreaming. It's a walk. You're in it. It can happen. But you got to walk step by step. John's message was not like the socially driven messages we often hear in our culture. It's a message avoided by the church, this idea of repentance. But we can't avoid it because here we teach the Bible verse by verse. We touch every subject. And so, verse 1 says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So his message is repent. Repent is to change your mind, change your way of thinking, and act upon that change. I used to think one way. One of the ways I used to think was I never considered God or what He thought at all. But now I have to involve Him, learn about His heart, learn about His character so I can involve His Word as I think and make decisions. That's a change of thinking. And so I have to change. But not only, that's not repentance. That's just changing your thinking a little bit. But repentance is when you turn and begin to respond and react to obey that new sense of thinking. Today, there's a weakness in the church. So many people are professing Christians, but practically they're atheists. What I mean is they love God. They'll worship at the drop of a hat. They'll cry at the testimony God has given them and all that stuff. But when it comes to living their lives, there's really not a big difference from them in the world. They look like the world. They act like the world. They joke like the world. They don't talk about God at all. When major decisions are made, He's not considered. It's not important, critical to them to seek Him. So practically, they may as well not be Christians. I don't think that's God's intention, and I think that's one of the reasons there is no power in the church. All right, we believe Him. Bunch of believers running around. No power. No change. No Spirit-filled, Spirit-led life, which makes all the difference in the world. Let me read something Francis Chan said. Talking about inviting Jesus into your heart, because it seems that at the altar calls today, it's like, does anyone, have you been moved by the message? Were you touched? Were you inspired? Then come forward and receive Jesus. And so they come forward and they cry and they're emotionally attracted. The message did do something in their hearts. But there's a big component missing. And that is this idea of following Him. Repent. They come down based upon emotion. They love what Jesus has done. They love the way the pastor put it. And they come down and they change for maybe quite some time. But then they find there's no power in their life. They find that there's no real change, real transformation. And it could be that they were emotionally led and not committed. Because the walk forward is one of someone who is committing themselves to follow. Just as those who would get baptized with John the Baptist would commit themselves to this baptism, this humbling act. And so Francis Chan said, instead of saying, come forward if you would like to invite Jesus into your heart, we need to be biblical concerning repentance. It's not about raising your hand and saying a prayer. Biblical repentance is about making a commitment to follow Jesus. The first step of obedience in the early church was baptism. If we had a baptismal at the front of our church, we would baptize them as soon as they made a decision and came forward. But we don't. However, it should be encouraged and scheduled whenever they come forward. Feeling guilty isn't repentance. We can make people feel guilty without Jesus at all. And criminals hide their crime. They feel guilty because they know the law will come after them. They feel guilty. Those involved in pornography, there's a shame attached to it. And so they hide it. They delete their history and all those things so that nobody can find them, find out where they've been. Because there's some shame attached or guilty. But guilt isn't repentance. It's a feeling. It's a feeling that should drive us to repentance. Crying isn't repentance. That's just an emotional outlet, one that we all have experienced and should, the condition of this world and sometimes our life. Saying, I'm sorry, isn't repentance. We make our children say, I'm sorry all the time. Somebody pushes someone or takes a toy and we get together, say, I'm sorry. Now you say, I apologize. You know, we're kind of cueing them on everything. None of it's coming from their heart, but they're doing it. And then they hug and then they go about like it's all done. That's not repentance. We force them to do that. Your heart has to be in repentance. You have to mean it. Confession. We don't have confessionals, but we have confessionals in some church circles. Confession, that's not repentance. Even confessing to the Lord you did some things, that's not repentance. If you confess it just to get it erased so that you can go do some more. Repentance is changing your direction. Now, these are part of the process, I think. Feeling guilty, crying could be a part of the process. Saying, I'm sorry, confessing, all those things can be part of the process of repentance, but they are not repentance. Jesus gave a clear message of repentance, very direct, very short message, to a woman caught in adultery. They brought her, caught her in her sin, in the very act, they said, threw her at His feet. And Jesus gave the message of grace and repentance. He said, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Let me make a point here. So before you guys are so harsh to judge, and no one could throw a stone, they all left, dropped their stones and took off. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? They're not here. He said, well, then neither do I condemn you. And then he gave the message, go and sin no more. When Jesus says that, He's speaking about an issue, a sin that has been pointed to in her life. He's not saying, go and be a perfectly sinless person when he says that. He's saying, now go and don't do this anymore. It has been pointed out. It has been brought to your attention. Now that it has, stop it. That's a message of repentance. Repent is more than being persuaded. Repentance only happens when a decision is made on your part. And there must be a decision made. You have to decide. The athlete who wants to win that gold medal in the Olympics, they don't always feel like training. They don't always feel like sticking to that diet that they've got to stick to. They grumble about, oh, it's so difficult. After they, you know, retire from sports, they, oh, finally I can eat the things I haven't been able to eat for 16 years, man. Well, how'd they do it? They made a decision. And they stuck with it. You need to make a decision. And you must make that decision. No one will make it for you. Billy Graham, when he taught, as simple as his messages were, he always said, you got to decide. You must make a decision. Do you remember what his radio program was called? The Hour of Decision. He understood. Why was he such a great evangelist? Because he didn't just give good news and say, if you love the Lord, come forward. He said, you must decide. If a child, well, we've had this happen before, you know, when our children were much younger, 2, 3 years old, and you're teaching them no, to obey, you know. You don't want them to go out in the street. Bad habit. You can get hit by a vehicle. And so you're working on the front yard. Kids are out there and they're walking, but they're going in a direction they should not go, a dangerous direction, one that you forbid. And they walk and you say, no, or stop. Don't go in the street. There's an opportunity for repentance. First, the no that they hear, that's called conviction. They hear that voice. Sometimes it's a still small voice, like they can barely hear us. But they hear that small voice, conviction. Uh-oh. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Conviction. The more worldly you are, the tinier that voice seems to be. The volume of the world is loud. You can barely hear God. But the closer to Him you get, the louder that voice becomes. And so as you're going towards the street, no. You have a choice. Stopping in your tracks is not repentance. Stopping in your tracks is considering. It's hearing and then trying to decide. Leaving this option open, leaving that option. Maybe there's a little rebellion. I know I need to turn back, but I'm not going to turn back because I know that's what you want me to do. And if I turn back, you're going to be thinking, oh, I'm the parent here. And so there's a little rebellion that caused you to stay right there. Repentance is humbling yourself, turning and doing the right thing. And it doesn't matter what people think. You do the right things, no matter where you're at, no matter how hard-hearted you've been. You must stop, turn around, and follow Christ. You know, when you take notes, it's fine to take notes on cool points. Ooh, that was a good piece of historical stuff. I'm going to look that up. Or, hey, the way the tabernacle, boy, that was good information. It's okay to take notes on information, but don't waste all of your writing on information. If you're going to jot down things, here's what you should focus on jotting down. Don't miss them. One, anytime you discover the character of God.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. Then I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.